Hello lovelies, and welcome to the Your Own Kind of Wonderful podcast, a podcast that is aimed at women who are curious about life and soulful living, women whose interest is sparked by discussions and explorations in the areas of growth, joy, love, and personal freedom. My name is Tina Mockquist, and my mission is to guide conscious women on the edge of the extraordinary to reawaken their fire, follow their heart's desire, and light up their world. In this month's episode, I speak with master face reader Eva-Marie Janelou about the fascinating subject of face reading. Eva-Marie shares her deep knowledge of this subject with passion, how it has been used since ancient times, and how this method can open up new fascinating insights about you. Face reading can be used as a diagnostic tool both medically and for personal development, and surprisingly enough, for matchmaking. At the end of the episode, Eva-Marie shares three lines to look out for in your face and what information you get from them. Eva-Marie has been practicing Chinese medicine for over 20 years. 12 years ago, she was introduced to Lillian Pearl Bridges, who lives in the United States and is a professor of Oriental medicine. The knowledge of face reading has been passed on within Lillian's family for many generations. 2014, Eva-Marie graduated from the Master Face Reading Certification Program at Lotus Institute in America. Eva-Marie is also an acupuncturist, a public speaker, and she's an author of two books in the field of Chinese medicine.
Eva-Marie, it is absolutely wonderful to have you in the program. You're very welcome, and I am very excited to talk to you about face reading and for you to tell everyone what it is. I already know what it is, and I'm sure I'll share in the program of my experience when you've read my face. But first of all, welcome.
Thank you, Tina.
So let's start at the top. Let's start with, what on earth is Chinese face reading?
Yeah, what is face reading? I had never heard about the word before I met it about 10 years ago. Face reading is knowledge from all over the world, but I have going deeper into the Chinese face reading. And this is a knowledge what has become passing forward for generations for many thousands of years. In the specific families, it was not known for all people, but for specific family lineage. And face reading, yeah, you can see in the face, you can see from the shape, facial shape, your personality, and from the lines, from the wrinkles, as we used to call them, it's very, very close connected to our emotional life. So every time when you have a feeling, an emotion inside of you, it's very, a tenth of a second, it's popping up in the face. So I can see the line connecting to that emotion. And this is what I have been training myself about all my life, actually. But going much deeper into it in the Chinese face reading the last 10 years.
Okay. So tell me about having learned about it your whole life. What does that mean?
Well, actually, reading faces, it's something we all do from the beginning. From the day we get born, we start to look into other people's faces. And this is a non-verbal language we all know, and we do it intuitively. And when we come up higher in up in age, we start to be more aware of the emotional life, the non-verbal life we can see in the face. But most of us, we do it absolutely more intuitively when we don't have the knowledge about the conscious face reading.
Yeah.
And for myself, I got very conscious about, you can see emotions in other people's faces when I was about 6 years old. And this is because I grew up in a family, a dysfunctional family, where words and emotions were not very connected to each other. So when I was watching my parents, what they were saying, they were acting totally in another way. And this included a lot of abuse. So I learned to study mostly my mother's face when she was going to go into violence. So I was always a step ahead. So I could read when is it time to try to run away from the violence. And I went on reading. I got very intuitively, I got very good about reading faces. I didn't know I did it, but I did it anyway, because that was the language I could understand most of all. I was very confused looking at people's faces, and they were saying something, but in the face I saw totally another thing. And I started to trust what I saw more than the words they said. So that's the way I started to be conscious about, you can see a lot in other people's faces. And I went on in my young adult life to work in a restaurant. And in that job, this was very good to read other people's faces. So I could see there is alcohol in restaurants. And when people, they have alcohol inside, they start to act in a other way. And the words and the face, it was even there. It was not the same. After many years of working in restaurants, I started to study Chinese medicine. That was a natural path for me because I had been working very, very much with myself to heal my own wounds from my childhood. And the Chinese medicine was a holistic medicine. I found very much many tools to work with myself. And the facial diagnosis, the medical way to read faces, it was one part of this studying. But it was a very, very small part. It was only a few days. So when I had been working about 5-6 years, I was introduced to a woman from the States. She's a professor in Oriental medicine, and her name is Lillian Paul Bridges. And she has this specific knowledge about Chinese face reading. And when I heard it, I was very confused. Could it really be true? You can see this much in the face, what she was telling we could do. So I got curious. And after only a few hours listening to her, I realized this was very, very, very deep knowledge she was talking about. And I would like to learn everything she knew. This was very, very deep into my heart. I have to know all about this. And she had maps from the face, about the emotional lines, the facial shapes, the medical signs. And I was, wow, there were maps for what I have done all my life. And from that time, I'm totally stuck into this face reading. So I have been studying with Lillian since 2006. And 2014, I certified, I took the exam from her international face reading program. And we are about 100 in the world for the moment who has been certified from her school in the States. So this is my background.
Yeah, I mean, it's so fascinating that it's like a survival instinct that you had to have.
You
had to learn it to know, okay, when do I flee the virus?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to come now. So,
yeah.
And that it, you have been able to transform it into, you know, to help other people now to read faces.
Yeah.
And that actually there was a real path to walk.
This is my first language. Swedish is my second language,
yeah.
And English is my third language.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I trust the face reading most of all.
Yeah. No, I get that. And I can tell the listeners as well that when we had a quick chat before the recording, and I said I always feel so naked, because it the listener will only hear this, but me and Eva Marie can actually see each other when we're talking right now. And I said, I just always feel so naked.
I'm not focused on your face now.
I know, but
what we're going to talk about.
But it is, because it's your first language as well. So it's, yeah. You know, of course, we all have that intuitively that we can read face, but with you, it's a whole different level.
This is a quite common reaction. when I'm out meeting people and they ask me, what are you doing in life? I'm reading faces. What? They are looking at me, and some people, they try to disappear very quick and hide themselves. And other people, wow, what can you see in my face?
Yeah.
So it's actually two different reactions I'm used to meet.
Yeah, and I think I have both of them. I want to know, and at the same time, I'm scared. I think there's actually, you know, I'm somehow scared of you seeing something that's deep inside of me that I don't want anyone to see. I think there's that kind of fear there, which is very interesting.
Yeah, I can understand. Yeah. People feel naked.
Yeah.
In front of my eyes.
Yeah.
Emotional.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's a whole different level of nakedness. Anyway, moving on from that, what can face reading be used for?
Face reading can be used for many areas. From the original, the face reading was a medical tool in the Chinese medicine. It was the doctors who had this tool, and this it was because all the doctors in China in Anderson time, they were male, and when they had a female patient in front of them, it was not allowed for them to touch their body. So this became very, very important tool for them to, in some way, to diagnose how the medical status in this client. And on the doctor's office, they had a statue made of stone. And when the female patient, she came into the room, when the doctor couldn't touch her, she had to point on the statue where she had her problems. And when she pointed, so on some places on the statue, it could be a muscle, it could be an internal organ, it could be whatever. So this was not, it was the area she could point out and then describe the problem. But from the facial diagnosis, the doctor reading the different colors on specific zones in the face, he could see how the internal organs, how they work, and the dysfunction. So this was a very, very important tool for the doctor. But this knowledge has also been in the business area. Lillian, she learned this from her grandmother. And her grandmother, she was actually the first female in this lineage, family lineage, who were allowed to learn face reading. It was not only the doctors who was male, it was also the face readers. So Lillian's grandmother, she learned it from her father, and he was a banker in Shanghai, and he used this knowledge in his work, financial work, to read the clients who came to the bank, absolutely only for business reason. Is this person driven, or has this person financial good nose for finance? So that was in the business area. You can actually see in a people's face how they make decisions. For example, if I'm going to sell something to you, I can see in your face if I'm going to talk to you in an intellectual way, in a practical way, or in an emotional way. So I can sell what I want to sell to you, so I can reach you. More areas you can you can use face reading for, it's absolutely personal development. This is what I use it most for. When I have people coming to me and they need help, who they are, where they are right now in life, what possibilities they actually have in front of them, and what strength they have inside of themselves. Everything of this you can see in the face. And from the lines, reading the lines during we are talking, I can see you have issues, emotional issues for something we are talking about. And then we can go deeper into that area and try to see how can you handle this problem inside of yourself in a new way. What more can you use it for? Matchmaking. You can use it for matchmaking, both for matchmaking in the business, in a group. You can have different kind of persons making a good working group together. So in that way, you can use the face reading. So you not have five exactly the same people. It's not going progress when you have five exact people. So you need different kind of personalities in a working group. But you can also use it for matchmaking to find a partner. And this is not what I do very much, but I have had a few friends I have helped to find the love in the life. And they have found it.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Well, maybe I need to contact you then. We need to book another session. That's quite it. So is that when you're reading for matchmaking, is it looking at what kind of person would you match with? Or
exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Because if you have if you both have the same personality, then it could work, but it's more possible you would come in conflict because you are too similar. You need some difference to make a progress. So when you interact with people who are exactly the same with you, actually you're talking to yourself.
Yeah.
But so you need other kind of persons to progress.
And I can, when I did some face reading with you, it wasn't for matchmaking, it was personal development. Mm-hmm. And I can share with the listeners that, you know, I obviously work a lot with myself because I'm in that line of business, you know, so I've mm-hmm. examined myself and analyzed myself to bits. But there was so much information that you gave me that was so fascinating. I had no idea that opened up new doors for me. So it was really amazing to kind of go, really? Wow. And you can see that. I never thought about that. I didn't know about that. So it was a really real door opener.
This new door, it's because we did this the face reading in a conversation, and I could see in the face exactly what you're thinking about what you're talking. So I can catch that moment, and then we can develop it. So this is the new dimension from what you have done before, I guess.
But super fascinating. So you've told me about Lillian a lot, and you've obviously learned so much from her.
Yeah.
And also how it kind of historically, you know, that's also very fascinating, that male doctors were not allowed to touch female patients, and therefore they had to point, and then they used the kind of face as a map. So what was it that, is Lillian the only one who's kind of brought it out into the world a little bit more to kind of allow other people into this, this knowledge?
This knowledge, it was it was dying out, because the people who knew it, they became few and few. And Lillian's family, they have kept this knowledge very alive. So everybody in her family, they actually knew it. But she was very, very interested in this. And when she was 5 years old, she was so fascinated about the work her grandmother did. So every time her grandmother had a client, she was sitting beside from the age of five to study direct from her grandmother. And when Lillian was about 20, it was the first time she was actually aware of this was a knowledge. It was not, everybody couldn't do this. It was so, because everybody in her family could do this, so it was nothing special to her. But when she started to understand from the outside world, this was very unusual knowledge, then she decided, I have to keep this, I have to keep it alive, and I have to try to collect all the knowledge and put it down into a complete knowledge who can stay alive, because this knowledge, it was only in a verbal tradition. So during 27 years it took her to write her first book, and during those years she was interviewing all people in the family who had the knowledge, all her uncles, her grandmother, her mother, everyone. And then she also get very, very deep into the ancient text. She had it translated. And she has also been studying Western psychology. And together with this tradition from her Chinese family, together with her studying in the Western psychology, she had built a bridge between old ancient science with modern psychology science. And this is why it took so many years. She's a perfectionist, and she wanted everything to be exactly right. So she has been, this is so alive in her. She has, this is her, all her life. And when she has been traveling around giving lectures about this for the last 20 years, but around 2013, she decided that she's not going to stay alive for all time. And she's the last one in her family who has all this knowledge. And she's considered as the world leading expert in this field. And around 2013, she decided, I have to pass it forward. So she decided to start a program, an international certification program, where she taught all this knowledge, all the details, to her students. And we who have been examined, certified, we are actually next generation. So we are passing forward all the knowledge who has been in her family lineage. So me and my colleagues, we are now family in her lineage, to keeping it alive for next generation.
Exactly. And it's an important tradition and important knowledge to keep alive. I mean, it would be very sad if it disappeared.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So for all of those listeners who are kind of thinking, I'm going to go and examine my face in the mirror right now, what kind of one or two tips can you give them that are kind of usual lines or something to look for that will give them some information?
The first thing I would say is that I love wrinkles. Wrinkles is telling about you. It's telling about who you are. It's telling about what you have done in life. It's bringing on out all the wisdom you have inside of you. So I just love wrinkles. It's not anything ugly with wrinkles, and I feel very pity when people, they take away the wrinkles, because it's wisdom. It's your wisdom. And you can change wrinkles. You don't have to keep them if you don't want to, because wrinkles is actually stuck emotions. Emotions who's getting stuck inside of you and you're not coming anywhere with them. But if you transform this stuck emotions, you can develop them into very deep wisdom, what you can use ahead in life. So when you be aware of the wrinkles, thank them for being there, because it's your wisdom. So that is the first. Love your wrinkles.
Okay, so go to the mirror and just go, wow, I love my wrinkles.
Exactly. That's the first step. And then you can start to see what kind of wrinkles are they? Are they there all the time, or do they come in specific emotions? And then you can start to be aware of if it's stacked emotions, then it's there all the time. But if they are coming into when you have the emotion, then it's just a mirror what your emotions is about, and they are there. And this, when you start to understand this language, you can start to read yourself from day to day. Where am I today? So for example, if we take three lines, I every morning when I wake up, I take a shower, and then I look into the mirror to watch three specific lines. And it's the first line is in the nose bridge. If you have a line in the nose bridge, probably it's reflecting that you haven't been eating enough good food. You are a little bit depleted in your nutritions. So you have, that could be a sign, I have to think about eating more healthy food. What's giving me energy? And this line, it can come and go only in a few days. It could mean many other things too, but very often this line is reflecting about the food. Next line, it's direct under the nose. And this is a line reflecting about if you're breathing, if you have a good breathing, and if you find yourself free to breathe. And this is literally free to breathe. You understand? Sometimes you feel like you're stuck in a small room and you can't breathe because something outside of you is pressing you into yourself. So this is about freedom and your breathing. And the breathing is also very much about creativity. When you have a good breathing, you can also be very creative. The last line you can see, it's direct under the lower lip, on the chin, a half centimeter about under the lower lip. And that is if you have not been resting enough. And this is a very, very common line. And this can actually come and go very, very quick. It's a small, small line, vertical, all those lines, they are vertical lines. And horizontal line, horizontal lines, horizontal. I always mix those up. Horizontal.
Me too, so I didn't even react. I was like, yeah, that's horizontal. Yeah.
You're just nodding. Yeah. Horizontal lines. So when you have this line on the chin, then you actually have to go and rest. You have to give yourself time, space to yourself, quiet, relaxing. Just go and have some vacation or take a nap. Most of the time when we have this line, we are working too much and we take resting enough. So this is one line you absolutely have to be aware of. So start your morning to watch those three lines. And then you can help you see. Nose bridge, it's about food. Under the nose, it's about breathing. And the chin is about taking rest.
Oh, that's really great information there, actually. And I have, and now I realize why you told me about nutrition, actually, when we talked about my face. And there is the line on the nose bridge, I'm guessing there, which hasn't been there before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so thank you. So that's great information. So listeners, every morning, check your face. It will give you
lots horizontal of lines.
Horizontal lines, not vertical. Fantastic. So people come to you for medical issues. They come to you for personal development. Sometimes matching.
Yeah, I have been working with Chinese medicine as an acupuncturist the last 20 years. So this is one of my diagnostical tools in my clinical work. So when a person's coming to me, to my clinic, to have some help with some issues, I always look at the face. They are not knowing I do it. But I always look at the face. So I just quickly check the face, what's the physical problems, what the medical problems they have. Because you can see this in different colors, you can see it in lines, in markings in the face. So you have a clue quite fast what kind of problems they have. But more and more people are coming to me specific to have a face reading, both to have help to come forward in life, to get to know themselves better, but also to see what about their health, what they can do about the health themselves. So this is the two ways I use the face reading. And then I'm also educating, I'm teaching face reading. So I use it in three different ways.
Yeah. And the teaching that you do, that's only in Sweden at the moment.
I have been in Finland, but I'm absolutely open to go abroad about teaching.
Yeah.
I love teaching. This is something I really enjoy, to give people tools themselves.
Yeah.
I help them to see yourself, but then you have to do the work, and I give tools how you can go forward with this. Okay. And then in the teaching, I have a 2-day course, a basic course. It's absolutely not what Lillian can teach, but it's a basic course where you can mostly learn about yourself. But if you are working in a field where you meet people in a medical way, you can also start to use this as a diagnostical tool.
Yeah, great. So we're coming to the end of the program. One of the questions that I ask every single guest is this question. How do you live your own kind of wonderful, Eva-Marie?
My way to live my own kind of wonderful is always try to do what I have in my dreams, to make my dreams come true. Even if I see it's very hard way to come there, I never let my dreams die. I keep them and I'm trying to go there and reach them.
Fantastic. That's wonderful. You obviously, you're in Sweden a lot, but I know that you do face reading over the internet, like Skype.
Yeah, and, I do.
That's possible as well.
So absolutely.
I just want all the people who outside of Sweden who's listening to this to know that you can actually do that. And where can people find more information about you if they're kind of like, oh, I need to find out more about Eva-Marie?
I have two web pages. I have one specific for face reading, and that address is facereading.se. And then I have one more, my clinical work, and it's jarnelio.se.
Yeah, brilliant. And I'll put that in the blurb as well underneath the program so that people can see it. Listen, thank you so much for being on the program. It's so fascinating. Every time I talk to you, I learn something new, and I'm very grateful for that. So thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you for inviting me, Tina. I have had a very fun time here.
Excellent. I'm glad.
I really enjoyed it.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
And as always, thank you to you, dear listener, for being with us. Do let me know your thoughts about this month's theme. Maybe you have valuable insights to share or questions to ask. Here's a quote from lovely Eva-Marie. I love wrinkles. Wrinkles tell about you, who you are, what you have done in your life. It's bringing out all the wisdom you have inside of you. Until next time, see your own kind of wonderful.